Thank you, Lois Gale. I am glad it is still the blood. It was the blood that initiated my salvation, and it's because of the blood I will make it to the other side. I'm looking for that glorious day when the Lord Jesus will come back for us. Now, if you have your Bibles, go back with us to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 11 through verse number 18, and we'll continue our message on the blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, I enjoyed preaching this morning, and I'm looking forward to this message tonight. And I want to tell you, you tune in, you help us. And every time you like a little something, you hit that like button or push that heart button and share the message to everybody you can, because I believe God will help some people today. Let's look at the verses first, and then we'll do a little review, and then we'll get right into the service today. You go with me if you can. In the verses, the Bible said, "Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by the which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now," boy, I like that Holy Ghost conjunction, "in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. But through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Let's pray. Our Father, I pray right now that you'll bless this message. You'll give me strength. You'll touch my body. You'll help me as I preach. And God, save a sinner tonight. Help a backslider come back to you. And Lord, we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. We were talking this morning that when we got saved, it was a real thing. I'm glad for the reality of being saved. You said, how are you saved? I was saved because of the will of the Father. Thank God that God planned my salvation. I was saved because of the work of the Son. Thank God for the work that Jesus Christ did on Calvary. And I was saved because of the witness of the Spirit of God. I'm glad the Spirit of God came and convicted me of my sin, showed me my need of salvation, and I received with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Thank God for that reality we have. But thank God for the revolutionary change that we had. I want you to know my whole life has been changed. Everything about me has been changed. I don't run with the same crowd. I don't do the same things I used to do. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I'll tell you what, when I got saved, I lost 3/4 of my vocabulary. Whoa! Jesus saved me. It was a revolutionary change. Thank God for it. It was a dispensational change. It was a dispensational change. He's not dealing with me through the law, but he's dealing with me through grace. I'm glad for the grace of God. I'm glad for the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, I want you to know something. It is real. It is real being saved. I'll tell you what, in my past state, in sin, that's what I was. But now I'm in my present state of salvation, and that's what I am. I'm a child of God. I'm saved by the grace of God. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. And then we'll be talking about the purpose of showing of sanctification. And that's what we're becoming. We are becoming more like Jesus Christ. Every day that we yield to the Holy Spirit, every day that we trust God. Amen. Let me give you about three things from this passage of Scripture that I gleaned as I was studying about the blood of Jesus. Number one, in verses 11 through 13, it is an inviting blood. The Bible said that we were brought or made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. You can't get up close to God in your sin. Amen. Let me say that again. You cannot get up close to God in your sin. And you can't get out of your sin without the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. It's inviting blood. And the Bible talks about our natural state. Look what it said in verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. We were not of the circumcision. I didn't get in Christ by circumcision. I didn't get in Christ by the law. I didn't get in Christ by good works. I didn't get in Christ, as it's saying, about our covenant relationship. I was outside the covenant of the Jews. But I'm glad for the new covenant in the blood. And that we're saved in the blood. Hallelujah. I was outside the commonwealth of Israel. I couldn't get in. My works wouldn't get me in. I want you to know the Jews, in pride, lifted up their circumcision. And there's some people in Christendom today, in their pride, lift up their works and their goodness. And look what I've done. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. Any work nullifies the sufficiency of the work of Jesus. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercies hath he saved us. Thank God for the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Thank God. We were in a natural state, depraved, defiled, dead, devilish, doomed. But then the gospel came. Then Jesus shed his blood. And he now invites us to him. He said, Preacher Smith, what's he invite us to? I'm glad you asked. He invites us to salvation. To many as received him, gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. The Bible said, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. I'm glad he saved me from the penalty of sin. He is saving me from the power of sin. And one of these days, he's going to save me from the presence of sin. So he invites you to salvation. He invites you to security. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The Father that gave them to me is greater than I, and I and my Father are one. I'm glad we're kept by the power of God. But not only was I invited to salvation, I was invited to security. I was invited to satisfaction. I want you to know, before I got saved, I was an old bartender's boy. I was wicked, undone. I was like some of you listening to me right now. On my way to hell. I was trying to find hope in the bottle. Trying to find hope in the world. Trying to find hope in everything other than Christ. But oh, thank God, he invited me to satisfaction. Woo! Ain't nothing ever satisfy you like Jesus. Oh, taste of the Lord, for you'll find he's good. He's the best thing ever happened to me. He's wonderful. He's mighty. He's counselor. He's mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, I'm satisfied in Jesus. Hallelujah. Then he invites us to strength. There's many folks right now. They're weak. They're troubled by this, all this that's going on, this virus and the economy. And there's some of you listening to me right now, you're thinking, I can't go on. Well, I want you to know you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I'm glad for the strength we have in Christ. But not only does he invite us to strength, but he invites us to supply. I know right now, many are worried about the economy, whether you're going to make ends meet or not, whether you're going to make it. I'm sure that concerns all of us. But when you're invited in by the blood of Christ, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. David said it like this. I was young and I'm now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I want to tell you, I'm a 68-year-old man. And I want you to know, since I got saved at 21 years old, God hadn't forsaken me. He's took care of every need I've had. He watched out over me. Hallelujah. But let me go on a little bit with this invitation of the blood. Boy, I'm kind of excited. It invites you to salvation, security, satisfaction, strength, supply. But let me tell you what else it invites you to. It invites you to the family. When you get saved, you get adopted into the family of God. It invites you into God's favor. You're accepted in the blood. One day, you had no favor. You were enemy of God. You were alien from God. But Jesus Christ came. And Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. And now we're accepted in the blood. And we have God's favor. And then he invites us to the fight. Don't be weary in well-doing, because you'll reap if you faint not. Right now we're in a battle. Yes, we're in a battle against this coronavirus, but we sure are in a larger battle than that. We're in a battle against the forces of evil, against the devil. But I'm glad the Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Not only does he invite us to the fight, he invites us to a future. Thank God. The Lord himself will come with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let me explain the future. I want you to know, I know the outlook's dark. I know right now that things are bleak. But I want to tell you, the outlook is bright. I'll tell you what's coming. There's going to be a rapture. And I'm going to be part of it. And if you're saved, you'll be part of it. There's going to be a reunion. Boy, I can't wait to see my daddy and my mother and my friends. But I really can't wait to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Then there's going to be a reward at the judgment seat. And then there's going to be a reception at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo! Hyman Appleman said, they won't say grace until I get there. And then we're going to have a honeymoon, church. Now, I remember my honeymoon. I didn't have one, Jared. Nope, I didn't have a honeymoon for 6 months. Then Marguerite and I finally got to go somewhere. Can you imagine having a 1,000-year honeymoon? Can you imagine Jesus Christ, us ruling and reigning with him 1,000 years? What a day that'll be. And that's all because of the inviting blood of Jesus. Let's go to a second point. And then I see an exclusive body. Look what it says in the Word of God in verse 14. The Bible says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in him of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the blood." It's an inclusive body. It includes both the Jews and the Gentiles. I'll tell you what happened in verse 14. He abolished the barrier. He broke down the middle wall of partition. Thank God for that. When Jesus died, he knocked down the wall. I have an old friend. His name Donnie Farmer. He preached a message called "He Called in the Dogs." Well, I want to tell you what. I was an old Gentile dog without hope, without Christ, and God knocked down the wall. Oh, hallelujah. But not only do I see an abolished barrier in verse 14, but see, I see an actual bond. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. An actual bond. Jesus was linked to man in humanity and linked to God in deity. Reaching to heaven, he related to God. Reaching the earth, because he identified with man. That way he could bring God and man together. Hallelujah. And then he annihilated bitterness. He abolished the enemy. Intimacy. I'm no longer an enemy. God's not mad at me anymore. He's not angry at me anymore. He abolished that. Thank God. Lastly, and I want to finish. I see an incredible benefit. The Bible says in verse 14, he is our peace. Thank God. Verse 15, so making peace. Verse 17, he preached peace. Now let me close. We have peace with God. That's when we got saved. We got the peace of God that passes all understanding. And one of these days when it comes, we're going to get peace from God. But I want to ask you, do you have that peace? Are you saved by his grace? Do you know him? If you don't know him, you can. By just simply realizing you're a sinner, realizing he died, realizing that if you'll just confess right now, Christ, he'll save you. And Christian, you say, "I don't have any peace, preacher." He got a peace of God that passes all understanding. I want to tell you what, he'll give you something right now that you can't imagine if you'll just trust him. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Help us right now to cling to the old rugged cross. In Jesus' name, amen.